I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about heresy this morning. And one of the things that I meant to let you know about, alert you to, in my heresy-themed service today, is that the two liturgies in today's service, the call to celebration and the prayer for peace, are both written by folks who have been declared as heretics. And so that's important. Elizabeth I of England, of course, was excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church, and she's really responsible, more so than her father, Henry VIII, for starting the Anglican Church. And so she was a heretic. And Nicholas Kazantzakis, I don't know if he was ever declared a heretic by any formal body, but when a movie, when I was in college, they made a movie of one of his novels called The Last Temptation of Christ, and people responded with violence and did damage to movie theaters, and folks on the college campus where I attended were organizing to lead protests. So he counts as a heretic too, in a very good way. One of my regrets is that I haven't read more Kazantzakis in my life. But since we're talking about heresy, I want to confess a heresy to you, and that is that I don't like lasagna very much. And that actually is something of a heresy. And it's a problem for a clergyman not to like lasagna, because just about every church event that involves food inevitably involves lasagna. Now, I don't hate lasagna. I'm able to pretend to like lasagna in order to be polite. But given the choice, I would never choose to eat lasagna. And that's strange, because I have a fondness for all things Italian. I had an Italian grandmother. I love Italian art and architecture. I enjoy a well-made cappuccino, and I speak enough Italian to know that the word cappuccino is Italian for the Capuchin order of monks who wear robes that are brown and off-white, the same color as the drink. I like Italian wine. I enjoy Campari and soda after a hot day. I prefer operas composed by people whose names end in the letter I, Rossini, Verdi, Puccini. For a short while, I was the owner of an Alfa Romeo, and that was a sweet form of transportation. And I like just about every kind of Italian food. I've made an effort to learn about and to cook obscure dishes from out-of-the-way corners of the Italian boot, but I don't like lasagna. I like everything in lasagna. I like pasta, I like ricotta, I like ground meat, I like tomato sauce flavored with garlic, oregano, and basil. I just don't like all the ingredients put together and eaten at the same time. And that's a problem. When I tell people that I don't like lasagna, I usually get a lot of concerned looks. And then inevitably someone will say, "But you haven't eaten my mother's lasagna." I've even had people try to deprogram me by engineering opportunities for me to eat their mother's lasagna. And here's the thing. The better the lasagna, the less I like it. And I think that makes my dislike for lasagna legit. And I'm telling you this because for me, discussions about this morning's lesson from 2 Timothy, they're a lot like lasagna for me. I don't particularly like talking about the passage, even though I like everything that's inside of those conversations. Mostly, when people talk about this passage, the focus is on one verse, the verse that says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is suitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." And that's great. I'm happy to talk about what it means for a piece of writing, particularly the Bible, to be divinely inspired. So keenly interested in what the author meant by Scripture, since the Bible itself didn't really exist when he wrote these words, at least not in its current form. And you know, the Greek word here just means writings. English translators generally render the word Scripture, but that's a decision based on context, not based on a literal understanding of what the word actually means. So that's kind of fun to talk about, right? It's also interesting to talk about the ways in which holy books play a pedagogical role in our lives. But a conversation about all these things at the same time, when that starts, I usually want to change the subject. I rather suspect that I don't like lasagna because once upon a time I had a bad experience with lasagna, something I've entirely forgotten but that lives in my personal catalog of repressed memories. And I know that a series of frustrating conversations lies at the root of my dislike for talking about this morning's lesson from 2 Timothy. I learned about this passage from people who used that verse about all Scripture being God-breathed. They used that as a proof text to state with finality things that might otherwise be dismissed using common sense. Things like the notion that God created the world in 6 days less than 10,000 years ago, or that women should not have leadership roles in the church, or that Moses wrote the part of the book of Deuteronomy that tells the story of his own death, or that the book of 2 Timothy should be read literally as Scripture, even though the book clearly isn't referring to itself when it talks about Scripture. Those conversations can get kind of old. I can be polite as I have them, but I would much rather hear about your favorite recipe for risotto. But then something kind of funny happened to me this week. As I read this passage in preparation for writing this morning's sermon, it was like eating your mother's lasagna and actually liking it. I don't know what got into me. I guess I read the passage in it, and I didn't feel as if I had to argue one way or the other about what is and what isn't Holy Scripture, or about what it means to believe the Bible is inspired by God or not. Instead, I was able to read the passage and see it as an invitation to keep learning and to share that learning with others. Keep reading sacred writings because all Scripture, or maybe it's all writings, are God-breathed and have something to teach you, which you can then pass on to others. I don't know what your mother put in that lasagna, but suddenly this passage went from being about the Bible to being about learning. And I know a lot of people would consider my new understanding of the passage to be a heresy. But you know what? They're right. But that's kind of the point. Because whenever you invite someone to pick up a book and read it for themselves and to learn from it, even if it's a holy book, that invitation is an invitation to flirt with heresy. After all, if two of us read the same passage of any book, particularly the Bible, if two of us read it, we'll probably come up with at least three opinions about what it says, right? And this is why so many Christian traditions have tried to restrict the reading of the Bible from insisting that it be read only in Latin or in King James English. And it's also why there are so many different kinds of Protestantism. I mean, one of the hallmarks of Protestantism is that people should read the Bible for themselves in their own language. And once people do that, once the people get the freedom to read the Bible in their own language, they turn into heretics. And we're here at Montclair Presbyterian Church because of compound heresies. As Presbyterians, we're part of a Calvinist tradition that to some people is heresy. And as radically progressive Presbyterians, well, we're heretics among heretics. And it's wonderful. But we shouldn't feel too smug about it, right? After all, progressives are just as quick as anybody else to complain about heresy. And if you doubt me, check this out. We value learning, right? And we value the work of scientists. How many of us want to stand up and cheer every time we hear Greta Thunberg tell world leaders to listen to scientists? Everybody, right? We all want to do that. We love it, except that a couple of weeks ago, some scientists came up with the results of a peer-reviewed international study, the largest of its kind, which shows that there isn't really all that much evidence to suggest that eating meat is as bad for you as we all thought. Which is a shame, because in my estimation, lasagna gets measurably better when it's vegetarian. But progressives, liberal folks, we didn't like learning that eating meat isn't toxic for us. We didn't want to listen to the scientists on that one because we find comfort in the orthodoxy that meat is going to kill us and that a vegetarian diet makes people healthy and happy. And man, we venerate vegans, don't we? But those heretical scientists now are telling us that maybe we'll have to choose not to eat meat for reasons that aren't based in medical science. Like maybe eating meat is, like maybe not eating meat is good for the earth, and perhaps not eating meat is good for us spiritually. But being a vegetarian might not help you avoid heart disease. And that's a heresy, right? Look, it's always a hassle when someone goes off and learns something that challenges our cherished beliefs. But it's also really good for us. Reading new books, listening to new music, experiencing new art forms, meeting with and talking to new people in new places, all of this has the potential to turn us into heretics because it introduces us to new ideas. Now, I might be wrong to read this passage as an invitation to learn, and I might be wrong further to suggest the process of learning leads inevitably to heresy. Finally, I might be wrong to believe heresy is a good thing, but I hope I'm correct. I want to believe God has created us with a mind for curiosity. In fact, I want to believe God herself is curious and that God creates us so he can satisfy their curiosity. I want to believe that about God because if it is true, then the invitation from this morning's lesson, the invitation to learn and then to teach, it's not just an invitation to get smarter. Instead, it's an invitation to experiencing God by being like God. Then the learning we do is profoundly spiritual. Whether that's book learning or learning through scientific experimentation or through the trial and error inherent to the creative process. And when God calls us to learn in part to make, and what if God calls us to learn in part to make sure our spiritual journeys are always marked by a good dose of heresy? Wouldn't that be a way for God to make sure that people keep an open mind and continue actively in the joyful work of learning? Which is a way for us to engage intimately with the divine? I hope that's the case. I hope God's inclination is to keep us heretical so that we'll keep learning and stay closer to God. And maybe keeping us heretical is also one of the ways God keeps us humble, keeps us from flying like Icarus too close to the sun. Maybe when we're heretics, we're kinder and more compassionate, and we're more creative when we don't claim to know the last word on anything, when we're still learning, still becoming heretics. So my hope is that we will all keep our minds active. I hope that we'll keep learning. I hope we'll keep sharing what we learn. I hope we will each follow the calling to be holy heretics, for that might be our calling. And I hope we will take time to consider what other heretics are saying. Who knows, we might learn from their heresies. They might learn from ours. And here's what I hope you'll also do. I hope you'll also keep perfecting your lasagna recipe. Chances are your mother's lasagna recipe won't save me from the damnation of my heresy, but maybe yours will. Amen.